dreamt I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing and someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now, but he said, wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only eight. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And that one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you. He said, remember the time a missionary came to this church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave. That's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. And one by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, a notice on the earth, in heaven now proclaim. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure that there are tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand, you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am alive that was changed.
Thank you, Karina. Let's stand together. Take your Bibles. We'll just stand and read the scripture for a second, if you are able, and we will read a few verses here. We're going to read Luke chapter 9. We're getting excited here. We're already starting to look forward to the summer. And, man, you know, a lot of times, some churches, and you know, they'll have a little bit of a, you know, okay, well, summer, everybody's going to be on vacation. Let's just kind of take it easy. Man, summer's a great opportunity, and I can't wait. We're going to have summer saturation. That's going to be exciting. We're going to have Four to Flourish, and we're going to have family nights. The way we have not been able to have them the way we should, probably for 15, 14, 13, I think 12. But we're gonna have they're pouring the concrete out here on Tuesday, right outside here. We got new lights out. We have new lights outside, and so we're gonna have a great time. By the way, the parking lot is actually a little bit longer, so we can have a basketball court out here. We can have a volleyball court. I think we can. The little driveway. I think we're gonna try to put a little volleyball court for the children in the corner out here. We'll clear it out, and the little ones can play handball. I know for some reason that's like the big game. You know, they love to play that. And then we'll have bingo in the chapel for those of you that want to play that. So now Brother Raul said, where are we going to have poker? Said, his house, Wednesday nights. I'm sorry, we don't. Forgive me for that. Brother Pineda told me that. I was doing that. So, okay, what were we talking about? Summer. Yeah, we're going to have summer. And so there's a lot going on this summer, and it's going to be exciting. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke 9, verse 57. We will read up to verse 62. Luke 9, verse 57 says, "And it came to pass, as they went on their way, certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said one to another, and he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou, preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looketh back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. That's why we're here. We want to draw closer to you, and your word helps us to do that. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight as we look in your word. I pray that you'd help us to see what you would have for us, Lord. Still our hearts. Help us to just get everything you have for us so we can be the follower that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus here is on his way to Jerusalem. He and his disciples, they were going to go through a village in Samaria, but the Samaritans found out he was going to Jerusalem, and they really didn't want him to come in there. By the way, we mentioned many times how the Jews looked down on the Samaritans where they were half-breeds, but the Samaritans also kind of sent it back to the Jews also. So they're going on their way, and they're traveling, and in the verses we read here, Jesus encounters three individuals. Now, these encounters he has with these three individuals all center around Jesus, following Jesus in a very life-changing way. These probably, if you get the context, were probably in more of a full-time type of way, told one to go preach the gospel. But as we look at the story tonight, it can apply to us whether we are following Jesus in a full-time way or we're just a Christian who is following the Lord in our lives. Jesus here is teaching that following him wholly or being a committed disciple is not always as easy as we think. I do believe, though, that the Christian life is the greatest life in the world. I don't think there's anything better. You know, we have difficulties and there's things like that, but really there's those types of pressures that come when you're not serving the Lord, and it's much better to serve the Lord than it is to serve the devil. But if we are only in it for what we get from the Lord, serving him, not for what we can bring to the Lord, it may not necessarily work out the way we want it to work out. In other words, there can almost be a selfish, self-serving type of Christianity, a Christianity that says, you know, I'm serving the Lord and I'm into this thing because it's bringing back wonderful dividends for me. And by the way, it does. By the way, we can think about that in terms of many things, giving. We don't give to get back from the Lord, but isn't it a blessing that when we do give to the Lord, he does bless us back in return? But that's not why we give to him. That's just a byproduct or a nice little thing that he gives to us. We don't want to be self-serving. But the real true benefits come to those who are wholly committed to following Jesus Christ. A very well-known pastor, it's Andy Stanley. Some of you may know him. If you do, stay away from him. He pastors a really huge church, and he has some issues with some of our modern day things. But he said recently that Christians, we ought to just live our faith and we ought to be quiet about non-political things. Just be quiet, serve God, let your light shine for a year, and let's not talk about any of the social ills. That doesn't work. If someone doesn't stand up and say, hey, my son was born a boy, my girl was born a girl, and if you have trouble figuring that out, that's a you problem. Brother Chim sent me something, because I just happened to mention it this morning. In a California public school system, they are now going to start with the little children and teach them about transgendered people. And they're telling the children that you are not 100% boy or 100% girl. What is wrong with us? That has nothing to do with the message, but that just makes me mad. It's not that hard. Anyhow, let's move on. What was I talking about? Oh, this guy. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm moving. Let's move on here. It's right here. Yeah. But you know what he told? They're not real pushy with the gospel, so he tells the people that attend his church, listen, if you don't get saved, if you just follow the principles of Jesus, you'll just have a really good life. By the way, that sounds like the guy in Texas, Blinker. Osteen. When people say things like that, it sounds nice. Except when you throw the Bible in. What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his soul? That doesn't sound like your best life now. Following Jesus, like I said, I think following Jesus is great, but it takes commitment. It doesn't work if you're not, listen, it's like a car. A car was designed to run on gas. I was listening to a guy preach one time, and he was talking about he borrowed a car. I don't know if he had a diesel. He went to a church, and they let him borrow a car, and they forgot to tell him that it was a diesel engine. And he put regular gas in it. And then he was wondering why it wasn't running. You ladies, what's that all about? Ask your husbands. You know why that car wouldn't run with regular gas? It was never designed to run on regular gas. If it's going to run at its optimal efficiency, first of all, it can't be a Ford. And second of all, it has to have diesel gasoline. Right? Listen, if the Christian life is going to work out, it has to take full commitment. It was never designed to work without that. And that's part of the message somewhere down the line. Oh, yeah, that's right. So let's get back to following Jesus. That's what it takes, and that's what he's telling these guys. We have a new breed of Christianity that's nothing more than self-serving, one-sided relationship. And when you have that kind of Christianity, you are setting yourself up for disillusion, because something's going to go wrong, and you're going to say, wait a minute, I thought that if I came to church and I was a follower of Jesus, everything would be great. No, we have to be a committed follower of Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, we follow Jesus on his terms, not ours. That works. That does work. John F. Kennedy said, not one of my favorite people, but he was a man at least when it came to stand up to the Russians, but he had other issues. But he did say this, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. He was a Democrat. Believe that or not? Believe it or not? A Republican wouldn't even say that today. I don't even think a Tea Party would. By the way, why Tea Party? Why not a coffee party? If you were a coffee party, I would vote for you every single time. Yes, back to Jesus here. I think you could flip that, and I think the same would be true, wouldn't it? Ask not what Christ can do for you, but what can you do for Christ. That's what he's saying. Christ does do great things for us. And I want to follow Christ. Now, you know, I've mentioned it, not lately. I'm not a real, I don't like the new little neo term, you know. We're just followers of Jesus. Most people would say that. They're not following Jesus. And if they are following Jesus, Jesus left them in the dust. He's way far ahead of them. They're lost. I want to be a committed disciple of Christ. Because a committed disciple will make it through the hardships. You understand that? Follower of Christ, if we're not careful, we're not committed follower, disciple of Christ. When the road gets rough, we're gonna back off a little bit. Let me get to the message. We'll be here all night. But in the story here, back to the Bible, back to the story. In the story here, there's three types of followers. And I want us to see those tonight. And I believe that in these followers, we will see ourselves. Now we may see ourselves in all of them. We may see ourselves in one of them, but there's three different types of followers, and all of them have, you know, well, no, the one of them has benefits, the others doesn't so much. And there's some things we need to be careful of if we're a certain follower. And so let's look at it. What type of follower, and I want are these three? And I want us to, as we look at it, look at ourselves. What kind of follower am I? Number one, the number one was the follower that was willingly committed. Willingly committed. Verse 57 and 58. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He's willing. There was no invitation as Jesus was walking down the road to say, hey, if you want to follow me, why don't you come? They're traveling on the road, and this man, because of his, you know, I think he was willingly committed, he on his own took the initiative to go to Christ and say, Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. You know what he was saying? Jesus, I'm in. And by the way, that's a good thing. Now, I personally don't think these three were all the way there. I think there was some issues there. But that is a good thing. We ought to be. Jesus wants us to be willingly committed. In other words, we're committed and we do it willfully. We want to be willingly. We want to be committed. But you know, you notice Jesus didn't jump up and down and say, woo, great. Let me put that on my stat board. We had another one sign up. No, he didn't say that. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus knew everything, and maybe he knew this guy was a little hasty. Maybe he knew this guy maybe wasn't completely understanding what was going on. But Jesus here is giving him a little bit of a reality check. So underneath each of the followers, I want us to understand two things about each follower. And by the way, as I mentioned, let's be willing to serve the Lord and let's be committed. But I think there's two things we need to watch out for. First of all, for a willingly committed person, you need to fight pride. You know, that statement almost smacks of pride. Jesus didn't ask him to come forward and say, are you willing? Are you committed? This man came up and said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And I think if that's really who he was, Jesus would have said, let's do it. I don't think he was there. Sometimes we have to fight pride. You know, Jesus, I'll stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. That's me. I'm glad. But I would much rather have someone show me that than have to proclaim it to me. I used to tire back in the days when in our school I used to coach all the varsity teams. I coached everything. We had girls basketball. That was a complete and utter disaster. I don't even know why we had it. After a couple years, it's like, let's take that horse around back and take the gun and let's do like my father-in-law does when the animals in the farm are sick. Take them down the hill. He comes back with a gun and the animal's nowhere to be found. And then we had girls volleyball. That was okay. We had boys football. Really enjoyed that. We had boys basketball. I really enjoyed that. And one year, we even had a boys volleyball. That was really fun. I mean, you coach the girls, you try to teach them how to do it. They did great, but the boys did it to an even greater level. Sorry about that, lady. Oh, that's sexism. Well, maybe you're not 100% sure who you are. I'm not sure. Okay. But But we'd have kids that come to the team, and at that time we had some kids coming from a boys and girls home, and they'd come back in the middle of the year, and they'd come and say they're going to be on the basketball team or the volleyball team, and they're like, I used to play on my public school team. I'm good. You know, I used to get excited about that. Man, got another good player coming. And then we get, let's go to practice. It's like, you don't even know what a basketball is. We had a girl one time. She's like, I play volleyball. I can play. She's like, I'm good. I used to be on my public school team. I'm good. So I'm like, all right, let's scrimmage. So I sent her out there, and Navi, remember Navi? Navi served the ball so hard, the girl didn't even move. She couldn't even get her hands up in time, and it slapped her right in the face, and wham! It's like, yep, you're good. But, you know, I used to like this. Here's what it is. Talk, 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 talk. Right? Jesus wants followers that we're not worried about how we look as a follower. We're just worried about following him the best of our ability. Fight that pride. By the way, be dedicated. Be sacrificial. Many of you are here. You wouldn't even be here tonight if you were. You're faithful to everything, and I believe in faithfulness. I believe we ought to, if we're in a ministry, we ought to be faithful in our ministry. Man, if we're in the choir, let's be faithful to the choir. Not just sometimes we're here and sometimes we're not. And I'm not getting on the choir because this could be any ministry. You know, the nursery. Now, the nursery doesn't excite me. I'm sure many of you are like, I can't wait to spend an hour and a half in the nursery changing diapers. I get it. Okay, I love my grandchildren. When they go to the restaurant, I ain't doing nothing with them. We're at the house the other day, and one of them's like, I go potty. It's like, hey, take them. I'm like, that's not my kid. I ain't taking them anywhere. I ain't take my kids potty. It's your kid. You take them potty. Okay? I'll give them a hug and candy and ruin them, but you make sure that they learn how to use a litter box, all right? I ain't doing it. It's not my job. But you're faithful. Be faithful. I mean, if you do parking ministry or whatever, greeter, just be faithful. And many of you are. You're great. You're faithful. You faithfully give. You try to live a righteous life. And you're doing everything, and you're going the right direction. You crack your Bible open, and you get into it. Be very careful, though, because what happens is we start to get proud. Someone comes in the church, and it's like, hey, they don't seem to be matching up to, you know, where I'm at. By the way, don't look down at anybody. Don't look down at anybody. And we don't have this problem. I'm just throwing it out there, you know, because I know we don't have this problem. But we would never look on someone and say, what are they doing here? Brother, everybody's invited. What about those bus kids? We love them. We want more of them. Not George Ospina necessarily, but we want more of them. You know, and by the way, we're not there yet. We're going to get to the building. But when we get in the building, and we got the new building. I don't want the bus kids in there. They're coming. Oh, but they'll put their hands on the wall. You know what you do? And by the way, it's probably not good when I'm around the house when the daycare's there. But you know how kids always run, and they're going to the bathroom, and the little door, and they put their hand. Hey, don't put your hand on there. They got a dirty handprint. Why is it when a kid walks around a corner, they got to grab it? I'm like, hey, don't do that. Do it at church, but not my house. You know, teenagers do. Yeah, they probably do. The staff does it. But can I tell you something? They're going to get things dirty. You know what we'll just do? We'll clean it up. Every year or so, we're going to have to paint. Okay? But you know what we're doing? We're getting a little snooty. Remember what you were like? Listen, I didn't go to church when I was younger. I went one time in fifth grade for one Sunday school class, and I was a holy terror. By the way, teacher didn't come by to visit me. And I don't blame them. Okay? And if I would have been in Sunday school as a little kid, it would have been bad. Let's not get proud. Satan wants us to get full of pride. You forget where you used to be before Christ. And you're impatient with newer Christians. How come they just don't serve God right away? I don't know. It frustrates me too. But you know what? I didn't serve God right away. It took 2 years. 2 years. We start talking about more about what we're doing and not what God is doing. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what I'm doing. I care what God's doing. You know what we need? And we've had it over the years, and we need more of it. We need God's favor in our church. We stopped using that phrase. Do you guys remember it? We used to always talk about God's favor. That's what we need. I don't want them to come, anybody come to our church and say, how are things going here, how do you do? Well, you know, we have this five-step plan. And by the way, we have a five-step plan because we want to be organized, but it's not the five-step plan. If anything good happens here, it's got to be God. It's got to be God. Like, thank you for doing that. But God better be blessing it. Let's not get proud. And I know we're not, but this is just helping us. Sometimes individually in our life, you know what happens? We get a little more concerned about what people think about us than who we really are. You know, we look good on the outside. Some of us. You know, some of you, you're doing the best with what you've been dealt. Just kidding. You do the best, but and I'm not saying we shouldn't do the best on the outside, but it shouldn't be phony. You know, we're not going to put up a facade. Let's try to be like that all the time. But we're more concerned about that aspect. Sometimes our ego needs to be stroked or we back away from ministry. Let's not do that. Pride sets you up for a fall. If you look in Matthew chapter 26, we won't turn there, but Peter told Jesus, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. He said, though all men deny thee, I'm with you, Jesus. He not only denied him, he denied he knew him, and he swore. Okay? Sounds like deacons, all right? You know why? What was Peter's problem? Pride. Pride got in his heart. Let's fight it. And then he says to the committed follower, fight pride and figure out the cost. You know what he's telling them? He says, really? You want to follow me wherever I go? I don't even have a place to go to bed. Foxes do. Even the birds have nests. I got nothing. My pillow's a rock. That's not very comfortable. We whine when we go to a hotel and the pillows are flat. You know? I mean, they're like, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like, are you serious? Charged over $100 for this room and the pillows like that. Jesus didn't even have that. He says, hey, you really want to follow me? You know what you're getting yourself into? We need to understand. It takes sacrifice to serve Jesus. Jesus wants us to, when you're making that commitment, listen, you need to sit there and think, you know, what does this commitment mean? Because it doesn't just mean, oh, I committed to Christ. Everything's going to be wonderful. I'm going to live my best life now. You know, you may go home and your family may not be too excited about that. Sometimes a person will come, but maybe one half of a married couple comes to church and they get saved first. Oh, I've been saved! And they go home and the spouse is like, huh? What's that all about? They're okay with you going to Jesus. They're okay with you going to church occasionally, but I don't want you to be a fanatic. They didn't tell me that when I got saved at the altar. They didn't tell me that when it's like, you know, you want to be a member. I'm telling you right now, you better figure the cost. There might be some cost. By the way, and we're not talking about persecution tonight, but it's coming. It's coming. They're after Christians who own businesses. Oh, you don't go to their wedding? You won't bake, you won't cater their wedding for the cake? They're going to sue you and take your business. By the way, let me just get off for 1 second here. It's hypocritical. I read a story. A man went into a bakery and he said, I want you to bake me a cake that looks like a Bible and I want a Bible verse on it. The Bible verse talked about homosexuality being wrong. The baker said, I can't do that because that goes against what I believe. The man sued her. The court said, if she doesn't believe that way, she shouldn't be forced to bake a cake for you. The man came, they interviewed the man afterwards. He said, you know what? I agree with the judge. If what I believe violated, she does. By the way, the lady said, I'll give you, you can write it yourself. He said, I'm not trying to get to her. He goes, I'm trying to prove a point. I totally agree. And if we don't want to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding, we shouldn't be forced to be part of that. But that's where our country is at. If you go to an Army recruiting station or a Navy recruiting station, you know, and they're, hey, get $50,000 for college. Get a $20,000 bonus for signing up for 4 years. See the world. Travel. Be the best you can be. Or what's the Marines? The few. The humble. Proud, but in a good way. The Marine. Boy, You know what they forget to tell you in those posters? When you get up at 4 in the morning, you got to do 100 push-ups. And then you got to put a 50-pound nap pack on and run 5 miles. And you haven't run 100 yards in 20 years. You know what they forgot to tell you? Where's the sacrifice? They forgot that little part, right? Yeah. Well, Jesus is saying, listen, it may cost you something. You might want to check this thing out. If we come into the Christianity and we're committed to him knowing that, yes, we'll have a great life, but there may be some rough roads we'll be prepared and ready for it. Next, look at number two. There's the follower that was willingly committed. Next is a follower that had been called. Verse 59, after he deals with this guy, he's traveling still, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to bury my father. Now, hopefully his father was dead when he was burying him. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, this follower is not like the first. He didn't come to Jesus. Jesus went to him, and he asked him. But this one's hesitant. There is something that he wants to take care of first. Now, I don't believe, and if the way that Jesus answers him, I think it's there. Jesus is not against us burying our family members or going to their funeral. I don't think his father was dead. I think what he was saying is, and I've read some others, and they're there with me. I think what he was saying is, let me go home and wait till my father's dead and bury him, and then I'll start following you. Jesus said, no, that's not how it works. He was using family as an excuse. Jesus would never tell us to dishonor our families. This guy just had an excuse. And if his dad was only 40, man, it could have been a long time. In some way, all of us have been called. Now, when we talk about calling, we think about somebody who's been called to the ministry full time, to serve God in a full time way. But you know, all of us are called to follow the Bible. Yeah. You say, well, I don't feel called. Open the Bible. Jesus is calling, saying, obey what it says. You've been called. You don't need a special. You say, I need God to tell me to go out and tell someone the gospel. Well, read the book of Matthew. Right at the very end there. He says, go do it. You've been called. So all of us in some way have been called, and we need to follow him. What are the two admonitions to this follower who's been called? First of all, answer him. He said, hey, follow me. Now, if that's in the form of a question, here were the possible answers. Yes, I'll follow you. Or, no, I won't follow you. He didn't do that. He answered in the form of a request. He didn't say yes or no. He goes, let me go wait till my dad dies. And then once he's dead and he's buried and the family's in order, then I'll come follow you. That's not answering. The answer needs to be a yes. Here, let me explain it to you. Here's your options. When you read something in the Bible, God tells us to do it. That's a call for obedience. Here are your options. Yes, I'll do it. Now, let me give you the other option. If you say maybe, that's no. You ever invite someone to church? Maybe I'll be there. Don't plan on going out to lunch with them. They ain't coming. Okay? You know? You say, well, I don't want to answer that right now. Well, that answer is no. It's like sometimes people come and say, you know, I want to ask you if we can do this. And it's like, you know, no. But by the way, there's nothing wrong with answering, because if you didn't ask them, the answer is already no. Right? You might as well ask. Say, what if they don't say yes? Well, you didn't ask. It's a no. You know, kids come up, can I have $10? The answer is, they don't even need to ask me. The answer is no. Not ever. No. They come, can I have $10 to go eat? If they don't ask me, they're not getting the $10. So what do they got to lose? But if you don't answer, there's no. I'll wait till later. When this guy is saying late together, I'll wait till later, you know what he was saying? No. Those who procrastinate in following Christ hardly ever do. We always, you know, when I was younger, before I wasn't even saved, I'm like, you know what? I'll wait till I get older, because I'm kind of just want to do my own thing for a while. I'll wait till I'm older, and then I'll get saved. And then, you know, when I'm married and I have kids, and then I'll trust. Then I'll serve God. That wasn't going to ever happen. God had to get a hold of me and say, now you need to get saved now. When you try to delay, it's never going to happen. It's always good when it comes to the Lord to get in the habit of just saying, yes. Yes. Let's answer him right away. And then avoid delay. Avoid delay. This guy goes, no, I don't want to go right now. I want to wait until my father's dead and buried and the family's all set up. By the way, that's usually just an excuse. It's like college students sometimes, they want to be in college and they're like, you know, I'll just, you know, I know God wants me here and I know I want to be in here, but, you know, I'm going to take a year off and just, you know, work. They're never going to go. If God wants you to go, go. You know, yeah, one of these days, I'll come out on a Tuesday night with you guys and we'll go soul. I want to learn how to share the gospel. If you won't come now, you won't go. The longer you delay it, the easier it is to. By the way, something else is going to come up. Once his father's dead and buried, you know what he's going to say? My mom needs me. I got to stay here for my, I got to do this, or now I'm running the family business. There's always going to be an excuse. Avoid delay. I heard a story. There was from a pastor. I read a story. Him and his family were at Niagara Falls, and they were watching the falls go over. And it was right at the end of winter when the ice was starting to break up and coming down the river. And he said he noticed a phenomenon. Some of the ice coming down from where it had frozen way up there, there would be some dead fish in this ice that had got frozen. And so what was there is all the seagulls would wait, and as the things would come down, they would go down to the ice and pick out on it and get the fish. And some of them, and then when the ice would get to the edge or start to fall off, they would just jump off the ice and they'd put their wings up, and the ice would go over the edge, and they'd catch their balance and they'd start flying. But he said he watched this one seagull, and it got on the ice way in the back, and he was really having a hard time getting to the fish, and he was digging in and digging in and digging in. And what had happened to the fish, because he delayed to the last minute, the ice was so cold, his claws got frozen in the ice. And he said he saw as the ice went over, the bird started to flap, and he held the ice up for a minute, and he just couldn't do it, and down he went. He was killed because he was delayed. Delayed. You know, if you delay serving God, you're going to get to the point you're just not going to do it. What's there to wait for? There's nothing to wait for. And so if we're waiting, we're saying, no, don't delay. Don't be like this man who was called. And then the last man is this. The follower that had some conditions. He had some conditions. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, this man came on his own. I will follow thee, but. Remember the first guy was committed. I'll follow you wherever you go. That's all he said. Like, let's do it. This guy says, I will follow thee, but. Don't you hate that word, but? Hey, you know what? I want to do something good for you. But. You know. Let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at my home and my house. Let me go home and hang out with my family and my friends, and we'll take care of some things, and I'll get to you. Now, this guy, you know, kind of volunteered, but he had conditions. I got to do this, 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 and this first. Then I'll come follow you. See, the other guy was asked out of the blue, and he's like, I got to go. Yeah, I got to do it. This guy came up and said, I just want to let you know, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but I got to take care of this first. There's conditions. By the way, when we follow Jesus, there is no conditions. The only conditions are his. That's it. We can't come to say, Lord, I'll follow you, but this better take place. It better go down this way. I mean, I'll follow you, but, you know, this is what I want to do. It doesn't work that way. He's the Lord. I don't know if you know that. And the only way we're going to find out what he has for us and what is best for us in our life is to put it in his hands. But this man had some conditions. I will follow you, Lord, but I want to. Sometimes people come and say, well, I'll follow you, Lord, but, you know, there's this thing that I do that I just I don't think I could give this up. I know that I shouldn't be doing it, but, you know, Lord, I'll follow you, but I'm going to keep doing this thing. It's conditions. Stipulation, I'll serve God and my family, but, some parents, let me help with this. Some parents, you know, like, well, I'll follow you, Lord, and I'll do whatever I want, but I want my kid doing what I want them to do when they get older. Okay? I always wanted that one to be a doctor. I don't think we have any doctors in our church. No, but you understand, my kid gets straight A's. Okay, I get that. But, you know, I remember we had a lady come one time, and one of her kids was in a gang and was having some trouble, and we were able to help that child, and when he went off for home, came back, was doing good. The parent came one time. They had another child that was not in trouble, so they put him in our Christian school while the other child was getting help. The mom came and said, you know that one right there that was in the gang? You can have that one. But this one right here that's never been in trouble, I want that one to be a lawyer or a doctor. It's like, yeah, I know, brain surgeon, I get it. That's what they all want him to be. You know, I'm not telling my kids what to do. I want them to do what God wants them to do. Say, don't you want your kids to go out and be rich and take care of you when you're older? No, they don't have to be rich. So all those years that they've been taken from us, there's coming a day. Just kidding. No, you know what I want? I want them to do God's will. Yeah, not my, I have no. Well, you got to do this. No, you got to do what God says. I don't want to be the one. I don't want to hold my. But see that, you know, I have stipulations, Lord. I want my kids to serve the Lord, but here's what I want for them. We cannot live out our lives in what maybe we didn't do through our children. Aren't we like that sometimes? The father that, you know, liked to play sports, wasn't as good, he wants his kid to be a Major League Baseball player or something like that. Let God choose what they are. You know, I like coming to church, and I'm with you, but I'll never share my faith. You know, I'll come to church. I might even join the church, but I could never tithe. You know, I feel God wants me to do this, but, you know, I've always wanted to do this. Stipulations. It's like Pharaoh and Moses. If Moses said, hey, we got to go give a sacrifice, Lord. We got to get out of here. Moses said, okay, you know what? Just the men, you just go by yourself. Moses, no. Oh, I tell you what, you can go. Don't go too far, though. Just go a little bit. No. All right, you can go, but leave all your stuff here. Just compromise after compromise after compromise. And Moses, to his credit, said, no, we're going, everybody's going, and we're getting everything, and we're out of here. We're not going to take your little compromises and your little stipulations. What does this person need to do? They need to forsake hesitation. We fear. That's why we don't want to just give in. We fear. You know, what will happen in the future? You know, to be honest with you, I don't know. I know this, though. If God's in control, it's okay. It's okay. By the way, that's easier to say than do, isn't it? It is. I recognize that. Everything's going to be good. Then you go home, it's like, is it? Yeah, it is. That's faith. Let's just trust him. Let's not be hesitant when it comes to the Lord. Let's do what he says. And then second, this person needs to just faithfully go forward. He uses an analogy. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. He said, listen, if you have conditions, you're not fit to serve me. The illustration he gives there is a farming illustration. They don't have the type of equipment that we have. You know, my father-in-law has a farm. He has brand new equipment. I think his tractors have air conditioning, stereo systems, satellite dish, you name it, Wi-Fi, cable. But it's pretty good. It stays. But back in those days, they'd plow. You know, it was manual. Put it on the beast, and you know, it's digging the dirt. How are you going to plow a straight line? They would get some fixed point of reference ahead of themselves, and they would fix their eyes on it, and they would walk straight to it and keep everything straight, and you get a straight line. If you're doing that, but you look back, what's going to happen when you look back? It's going to go crooked. It's not going to be fit. You're going to have a field that looks horrible and isn't very good. That's the analogy. Jesus said, listen, how can you walk straight for me and accomplish anything of any value and in right if you're looking back? By the way, too many of us look back. Your life before you were saved isn't as good as you remember it being. Okay? It's not. Man, remember back in the days? I mean, I had hair. I mean, I was younger. Remember those days in Robert's garage? Yes, I do, and they're not as good as we think they are. You know, remember those days? You used to be able to do whatever you want. Sometimes we get married. We say, you know, it was better when I was single. No, it wasn't. You couldn't wait to find a partner to spend your life with. You forgot that. We look back. The Israelites, man, when we were in Egypt, it was buffet city. It was Golden Corral every meal. No, it wasn't. It was slop city. Do your work, eat the food, and if you don't do it right, you're getting beat. We look back fondly. By the way, some of you, and shame on you if you do. I remember my old girlfriend. Listen, she weighs 600 pounds now. Stay away. I'm kidding about that. But she was a wonderful girl. No, you're trying to relive your past. Things are good in the future and in the present. Yeah, but before I served God, it just seems everything was better. Wasn't. Don't let your memory get faulty. We forget the bad, don't we? Man, we go through something and say, man, that was horrible. And then we get around to our buddies later and say, man, that was great. No, it wasn't. Go forward. Don't hesitate. Don't glorify the old life. What am I saying tonight? What kind of follower are we? What kind of follower are we? Do we have conditions? Are we willingly committed, but pride's in our life? Or when Jesus calls us, do we say, you know, I'll follow, I'm kind of cafeteria style here. I'll do this, Jesus, I'll do this, but that'll never do. What kind of follower are you tonight? The best kind of follower says this, Lord, I'm here. See, be careful about emotional decisions. We have a youth conference, and I think it's great. We used to take kids up to North Valley. Remember one time in staff meeting, pastor was talking, he just asked the staff guys, hey, tell us how you got called to ministry or you wanted to be in ministry. And all of our young guys, to a man, said, I was at a youth conference and I heard this. I was at a youth conference and I heard this. I was at a youth conference and I heard this. But I also know some in our church, they made an emotional decision. They saw everybody coming up to the front. By the way, we do that sometimes with salvation. Just bow your head and let's pray. No. It's a decision. I don't want to get up here and again, I mentioned this morning, I'm not a real emotional type of person. I'm not crying. I'm not going to cry. You sad that the Clippers lost? No, they're the Clippers. Duh. You know, I'm not going to get up here and we're going to give you some tear-jerking illustration so you'll come and give your life to Christ. Listen, if you come and give your life to Christ or you come and say, I'll serve him for the rest of my life and I'll go to Antarctica as a missionary and you only did it because someone cried, you're not going to make it to the North Pole. Okay? It's decision. It's decision. And we have to know what we're getting ourselves into. But let me just say this, best decision you can make. Let's follow him. Say, Lord, I'm here. What do you want? Let's all stand together tonight.